Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I'll be reading from the King James Version. When you are there, you will find these words. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
As we begin our year talking about storing up a good foundation and what it will require from all of us, I do want to say that all of us are needed as the people of God, as the Church of Christ. We're all needed to go out and seek and save the lost, to be an influence to those who are in the world. And so when we consider this year and the things that we're going to be talking about, I want us to be considering the lesson for today. Now, I know you see the official charge of the cross. I believe that it's supposed to be the official charge of the Church of Christ. And if that's my error, then that's fine. When we consider our great responsibility as the people of God, I need us to keep in mind that if we're going to be storing up a good foundation in heaven, that it's going to require us staying with the fundamentals and being familiar with foundational truths. We have to be reminded constantly of the foundational truths of the Scriptures in the New Testament church. When we consider the official charge of the Church of Christ, what was read in our hearing, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, I want us to consider some other passages as well before we go into our study. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through verse number 16, we find the same account, yet this is penned by Mark. Mark writes to the Greeks. And here we see in verses 14 through 16, later he, talking about Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47, we find the same account. Yet the doctor here, our brother, is writing to Gentiles. Mark is writing to the Jews, Matthew is writing to the Jews, Mark is writing to the Greeks, and here Luke is writing to the Gentiles. Starting at verse number 44, ending at verse number 47. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When we consider these words, we have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus give such an urgent, uplifting, and unprecedented charge to the apostles? I venture to say, through much study, that the reason why he gave them such an uplifting and unprecedented and urgent charge is because of the world that they lived in at that particular time, and we still live in today. In 1 John 5 and verse number 19, the Bible there says that the world lieth in wickedness. We understand because the world lieth in wickedness that the prince of the power of the air has many souls following him. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. With that being said, we know that people are being held captive by the devil to do his will. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. This captivity, this power, and this sway of the wicked one results in many things, too many for us to enumerate on this morning. When we consider the things that it amounts to deception. It amounts to lying, killing, problems in the home, ingratitude, unloving, and unfortunately, false teachers. We consider some of these things, and the more that I was thinking about the official charge of the Lord's church and how the apostles had a charge to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. I venture to say, with the advancement of social media, that it is spreading like wildfire. With the advancement of social media, younger minds are being attacked by the evil one. Deception is setting in quicker. Lying is setting in quicker. Killing is setting in at an all-time high. With these few observations, we have an obligation as the Lord's people in San Angelo, Texas. This is us, friends. To reshape, now listen to this, the human condition, the minds of men. That's our responsibility. As I was thinking about this, I thought about how the apostles, how they were commissioned to go out and preach the gospel, to reshape the condition, the minds of men during the first century, and how the New Testament church took that charge and they ran with it, according to Acts chapter 8. You remember when they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. It's unfortunate that sometimes God had to cause a persecution to take place, if I can say it that way, in order for his people to go out and get the gospel out. I considered this more so, and I was thinking, as the people of God here in San Angelo, Texas, and our charge to reshape the human condition, the offering of the hope of hope for a better life is only going to be through righteousness and not political reform. It's going to be through reasoning of the scriptures and not bombastic rhetoric. It's going to be through morality and not manipulation of the mind. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Unfortunately, even us as the people of God get caught up in the things around us instead of staying focused on the charge. But why start with such a message as this? Friends, as I was considering the fundamentals of the faith, one of the fundamentals of the faith I know for a fact is our message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the fundamental message of the New Testament church, of the apostles, as they had the official charge to carry the light of the glorious gospel everywhere they went. They had the official charge to be a people of moral behavior. They had the official charge to demonstrate goodwill to all men. And friends, we have the same charge. Our charge is to preach the unmitigated gospel of Jesus Christ. Our message is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I love what the Apostle Paul here had to say, and his focus is just amazing. And friends, our focus must be as laser pointed as the Apostle Paul's was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul as he is talking to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth had many problems. I venture to say we don't have the problems that they had. However, they had great problems, and Paul would say this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. The more I considered this, I thought about our message and how the message of Jesus Christ should bring men to their proverbial needs. It should cause men to understand the guilt that they should have because of what Christ did for mankind on the cross. You remember what took place in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 23 as Peter was preaching that gospel message. And he said, and you with lawless hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. The more I consider this, and hopefully you'll consider what Jesus Christ did for us and what God did for us and how this is the fundamental message that we're taking to the world. And then it caused me to think about John 3, turn verse 16 and 17. Oh, you're probably saying, I can quote that. In John 3, verse 16 and 17, the one in whom Jesus loved and the one in whom laid on Jesus' bosom had this to say. For God so loved the world, Jesus Christ speaking here, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, why did you come? I came to save the world. Jesus, how would you do it? I would die on the cross. I hope, pray, and trust that we never lose sight of the message of the cross. That we'll always keep our eyes on the cross. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. And let's start at verse number 18. As the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, he reminds the church at Corinth that it's about the cross. I couldn't think of no other place to begin than the cross. Oh, we could have started off with how to worship God. And how to live as a Christian. And instrumental music in the church. But none of that means anything without the cross. Without Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins. It ought to cause us to get our focus where it needs to be. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul would say this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, perishing. But to us who are being saved, what is it, Paul? It's the power of God. Romans 1 and verse number 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. If you look at verse number 21, notice 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Now notice this. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. Do you understand how important preaching the cross is? Do we understand how important preaching is? Oh yes, singing is important. The Lord's Supper is important. Saying prayers to our Father which is in heaven is important. But friends, the preaching of the cross is vitally important. We have to stay focused on the cross. We have to keep our eyes on the cross. No wonder Paul would say in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, why are you talking like that? Because I'm crucified with Christ. Christ, where was you crucified? On the cross. We got to stay focused on the cross. And when we stay focused on the cross, then we'll understand our position before God. I believe that when men get away from the cross, when preachers get away from the cross, members have a tendency of getting away from cross living. And that's why we got to preach the cross. We have to remind people that when we get away from the cross in our preaching, members that get away from the cross in their living. We got to stay focused on the cross. It's about the cross of Christ. Fundamentals of the faith all go back to the cross. For without the cross, the old law, patriarchal and Mosaic, Brother Brian, would still be in effect today without the cross. Without the cross, we have nothing to go back and look at as it relates to the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord's death till he returns. It's about the cross, friends. Let's stay focused on the cross. Look at verse number 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I find it very interesting that the Jews, well, they sought a sign. The Greeks, they sought after wisdom. But Paul said, the only thing we have is a message. So when I considered that, and I thought about the cross, and hopefully you'll think about the cross in this light. Hopefully we're not like the Jews looking for a miracle. Hopefully we're not like the Greeks looking for something mystical. But hopefully we're like the Apostle Paul looking for the message. What message? The message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I truly believe that when we keep the cross in mind, then we'll understand how we are supposed to behave ourselves before God. We cannot forget about the cross of Christ. It is the cross of Christ, listen to this, that reminds us of the love of God. It reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. It reminds me as a gospel preacher of the purpose of preaching. And it reminds us as the church of the glory of the Lord. The cross, fundamentals of the faith. Therefore, we have to keep in mind the cross of Christ. What comes to your mind when you think about the cross? You ought to think about Isaiah 53. You remember the suffering servant, verses 1 through 12? In Isaiah 52, in verse number 10 through 14, there the Bible teaches us that Jesus would be beat and marred above any other man. Can you imagine taking a beating the way that Jesus took? Oh, if we really could fathom what Jesus went through before he even went to the cross. The scourging that he took. The beating that he took. The way that they beat him. To the point that the flesh was coming off of the bone. Even not even recognized. Friends, that's the type of beating Jesus took. And he still had to walk to Golgotha's hill. He still had to be nailed to the cross, Brother Wood. And as he was nailed to the cross, our Lord, our Master, Jesus the Christ, he hung there for 6 long hours. The strength that Jesus had, the fortitude that he had, the mindset that he had to teach us that we can have the strength and the fortitude and the mindset to bear our cross. We can do it. We can go through it. We can make it. And no wonder the power is in what God demonstrated for us to save us. Romans 5 and verse number 8. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, here's the cross, Christ died. Friends, let's not forget about the cross. We have so many distractions around us. And if we're not careful, that we can even miss out on the cross in the midst of the church. Oh, many will wear chains and earrings and things of that nature, wearing a cross. That's fine if you want to do that, but bear your cross. Bear the cross. And let not Jesus bear the cross alone. Number 2, our official charge is to teach the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Go back to Mark chapter 16 and look at verse 15. When we consider Mark 16 and verse number 15, If I get out of Luke real quick. In Mark 16, notice what the Bible here says in verse number 15. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, go into all of the inhabited world, the cosmos. That's everybody. You will never see a face. You will never see an ethnic group. You will never come across a people that God doesn't want to save. Never. And the more that I thought about this word cosmos, the more that I thought about the world, the inhabited world, God is not concerned about this earth. He's concerned about the souls that are on the earth. But notice what he says. Go into all the world and preach the euangelion, the gospel, to every creature. The word gospel there is very important. If I can make this one point about gospel. It's good news. It's glad tidings. And so you consider, Maya, is the cross really good news? Is what Jesus went through on the cross, that's supposed to bring me great joy? The answer is yes. It's supposed to bring me great joy because God did that to save me and you and the world and even those who could care less about him from their sin. And so the idea of euangelion is the idea of a servant, of one who was in war and their army had just defeated the enemy. And he takes the flag, and as he is running back to the home base, he is exclaiming with great joy, Kari Nikomen, which literally means good news, we're victorious. And no wonder Jesus, as he is raised from the dead, he can now exclaim to his apostles that I am victorious over death, grave, and hell. God had raised me up. And now you go out and you tell everybody that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter what you have done. That you can be delivered from it. Euangelion. Good news. And friends, people are making some horrible decisions today. They're doing some stupid things today. They're saying some crazy things today. And here we come with the gospel charge to the world. And we can tell people, I know you did that 10 years ago. I know you did that 2 weeks ago. I know you made a bad decision in your marriage. I know you made a bad decision on your job. But Jesus Christ came as the one who was raised from the dead. Kari Nikomen, you can be delivered. Friends, I don't know about you, but can you imagine that message as it is going out through the apostles' mouths? As it is going out in Samaria, they went everywhere preaching the word. That there was great joy in that city. Friends, I venture to say that maybe the official charge to teach the gospel from Christians today in 2020 is not as powerful and forceful because we don't see the cross as something joyful. We ought to go out with the knowledge of knowing we have the responsibility for letting our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, our enemies, in-laws who are outlaws, let them know that the gospel message is for them too. That we bring forth hope and love and a way out of any situation. That if they would just allow God to work in their lives, they can come to the knowledge of the truth. So we must meet people where they are. And one thing about the cross meets people where they are. I wish I would have thought about this in my studies. I'd have studied it. But the cross met Mary, the mother of Jesus, where she was. The cross met the disciples where they were. The cross met the enemies of Jesus where they were. And so here we are as we take the message of Jesus Christ We meet people where they are, and we take them to where God wants them to be. And so Jesus met a woman at the well in John 4, verses 1 through 42, exactly where she was, and changed her life and the life of all of Samaria. Philip, as he met the Ethiopian eunuch, reading Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53, and Acts chapter 8, 34 through 39, changed his life, and he went on his way rejoicing. Paul and Silas, in prison in Acts chapter 16. You remember after the Macedonian call. And we find Paul and Silas praying and singing in jail. And here this great earthquake takes place. And the jailer was about to do himself harm. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He took this as an opportunity to take the charge that Jesus Christ gave him. Saved his life and his family after obedience to the gospel. And so therefore we have the official charge to change the lives of people, to reshape the human condition through the great gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. When a man of God stands in the pulpit, he has to preach the blood of the cross, Colossians 1 verse 24. And as he is preaching the blood of his cross, we know that people will come in contact with a gospel that's full of blood. But we have too many preachers today that they're preaching a bloodless gospel. They don't preach the cross, trying to make everyone feel good. Paul would talk about that as being tickling ears in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and following. We as the people of God have a charge, and it's a solemn charge. Every elder in the Lord's church has this solemn charge. Every gospel preacher, teacher has this solemn charge. Every deacon in the Lord's church has a solemn charge. Every member of the Lord's church has a solemn charge to do what? Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is man's all. So as we close, whose life are you making better? On a personal level, whose life are we making better every single day? We ought to be looking for opportunities to make life better for somebody. Oh, we're not trying to save people with one Bible study. We're not trying to save people with one encounter. If that takes place with one Bible study, fine. But we ought to demonstrate the crucified life before all men. So 10 things. Under this last point, are we living slow enough? Are we living slow enough? I'm always busy. I got this to do, and I got that to do. I got this place to go, and I got that place to go. Are we living slow enough to be like Jesus in John chapter 8? You remember in John chapter 8 and verse number 46 through 58, I believe it is, 59. Where the Jews wanted to kill him because he said, "Before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am." They were ready to stone him, and he got away from them. In essence, he had to run away from them. And then in John chapter 9, he comes across a blind man. But even though Jesus was on the go, he was moving slow enough to see this blind man to say, "I can help you out." And so, are we moving slow enough to pray with people when they ask you to pray with them or for them? Are we moving too fast? And when people say, "Pray for me today," won't you stop right then, grab their hand and pray for them? But Brother Mike, what if I'm in a restaurant? What if I'm at the gym? What if I'm at HEB? What if I'm at the gun store? It doesn't matter. Pray with them. You would make an impact on their lives like no other. Are we moving slow enough to ask people about their families? Sometimes when I see certain people and I know that they have grandchildren, "How your grandbabies doing?" Oh, they just start smiling. And, but you gotta have a minute, especially if it's a sister or a woman. Because back in the day, they used to pull out the photo albums. Now we got these cell phones, and we're just going through all those pictures of them grandbabies. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but if you ask, have some time to listen and say, oh, that's nice. That's good. Why don't you bring in the Bible class? You got a great class for them. You got to be moving slow enough to give a listening ear. Moving slow enough to extend hope when despair rules. Moving slow enough to ask for a Bible study or invite people to worship when you know for a fact that they need to come. Moving slow enough to invite individuals over to our homes. Moving slow enough to attend events showing that you care, that they're valuable. Events like Little League. Events like plays. Events like concerts. Yeah, my son, he has a concert tomorrow. What time? 7 p.m. That's nice. And the next thing you know, 6:45, you come walking in. I wasn't expecting to see you. You're important to me. Why? Because of the cross. God moved slow enough to send his son. We ought to move slow enough to bring people to the cross. Are we moving slow enough to offer wisdom from the word and not ours? What I think. Did anybody ask you what you thought? Are we moving slow enough to seek opportunities to do good? Are we moving slow enough to simply be like Jesus? If you're not a child of God, you got to come to the cross. There's a lot of crossless preachers out here. They'll say, just believe on Jesus and you're saved. That's not what Jesus said. And if anybody ought to be able to tell a person what they need to do to be saved, it ought to be the one that took the beating and went to the cross and died. So Jesus, what should we do? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, what should we preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Jesus, what should they do? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe the gospel? Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. Why? Because Jesus said it. But that's not what my pastor said. Go to the chief pastor. The chief pastor said you got to be baptized. And when you're baptized, God is going to do something amazing. He's going to cleanse your conscience from dead works. You can now serve God. He's going to add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. The official charge of the church of Christ is to go out and preach what Jesus told his apostles to go out and preach. And that's the gospel. Maybe a child of God and you've been moving so fast you ain't had time for nobody. One thing that I do know, death slows everything down. I mean everything. I used to say this, I guess when I was a young preacher. Paul said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Either going to be compelled through submission to bow now, or are you going to be made to do it later? Why don't we just go ahead and slow down and bow now? And let's stay with the charge. Let's not get too busy that we don't keep the charge of Christ. And the church of Christ has a charge, and it's awesome. One soul at a time. One soul at a time. As we stand and as we sing, the same as we do.